Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Arachin Daf Yod Dalet Amud Bet. At the very bottom of the Amud, about to look at the fourth Mishnah, in this the third parak, continuing to compare or to take a look at those areas of Halacha where the Torah mandated a set payment, and thus, in some cases, it comes out more lenient than if it were to be a variable payment based on the actual value of the person involved, and sometimes more severe. But ones when fatel hakel lachmir. Remember, ones is the case mentioned in Parshat Ki Tetzeh. If a person rapes a girl who is of marriageable age, meaning a na'ara, who is not betrothed, and then he has to pay 50 shekel, and mifateh, which is seduction, is essentially the same sort of case, same age, same status, but with consent, which is mentioned in Parshat Mishpatim, also 50 shekel. Lakel achmir ketzad, how could this go? Lakel achmir, and of course the answer is quite obvious. Echad she anas upitat gdola shebekuna, vetak tana shebeyisrael. We already saw these terms invoked in our first sugya in this parak, whether somebody was raped or seduced, the girl from a great Kohanic family, or from the lesser family of Israel, 50 slaim. But v'haboshet v'habgam, however, there are additional payments. In the case of onus and mefateh, there is also a payment of boshet, of shame, and which is in every case of battery and assault, and of pgam, which is the actual damages. I call if you vayesh from itpayesh. That is something, and that's the eighth parak of Bava Kamma. It's based on the stature of the person doing the embarrassing, the person who's embarrassed, in the case of the pgam, how much the damage is. Of course, there's an additional fate piece that is not mentioned here, but is mentioned in the fourth parak of Ketubot, and that is that in the case of onus, there's also a payment for tsar of the five damage payments. Now, the question is, amai, why is it, and we're asking at the end of the Mishnah, why is it that the 50 does not cover everything? Maybe when the Torah said, pay 50, that covers everything. So Rav Zeira says the following, Yomer Baal Bat Melachim Chamishim, Baal Bat Hedyotor Chamishim, where people are going to say that if you did this to a princess, you're going to pay the same amount of 50 as if you did it to some simple peasant girl. Doesn't make sense. Malabaya says that doesn't work with an entire parak. So say the same thing. But if my ox killed somebody's slave who was a diamond cutter, or he killed somebody's slave who was a simple tailor, it's the same payment. But that's the way the Torah said it. Elamar of Zira. Rav Zira had a, this is a different version, that's why I called it number two of Rav Zira's suggestion. Either Baal Aleh Hashnaim. Let's say the two people had bia with this girl. Echad shelo kadarka v'chad kadarka. The first one is shelo kadarka. Yomru baal pguma chamishim, baal shlema chamishim. The one who had bia with the girl who was already, should we say, damaged goods, should pay the same as the one who attacked her when she was not yet touched. But again, that's why he says there has to be some other payment in there which creates the variable. Amar Abai, Abai has the same challenge. Yachi gabi eved nami yomru. Eved bari shloshim, eved mukesh shchin shloshim. So an eved who's healthy and an eved who's unhealthy, why the same amount? But they are the same amount. Amar Abai, Abai's answer is Amar kra tachar asher ina. The text very simply says, not because people, how are people going to say, what kind of ridiculous thing is this, that two different people of such different statuses and the compensation is the same? But rather the pasuk says, you pay 50 shekel, tachat asher ina. Meaning, for that particular act, Michlal de'ika poshtubkam. Meaning, why did the Torah say you pay 50 shekel, 50 for this? Because there's, of course, everything that comes along with a regular attack on another person. Poshtubkam. Roman, amakrav, and atana isha shochevimat. He says the man who slept with her gives 50 shekel, meaning, hanach chivachamishim, 50 is for the sexual component. There must be something else there, which is so Baba and Rav are basically saying the same thing using different phrases in the same pasuk, which is that the payment is clearly directed by the Torah as being about a specific component of this attack, but of course every attack carries with it all sorts of compensation, and that happens here too. Okay, the last Mishnah on the Perek, Motzi Shem Ra Lakel Lachmir. Motzi Shem Ra is a case in the Torah, in Parsha Kitetze, when a man marries a maiden, and then he says, I found that she was not a betula, not a virgin, and his claim is that while she was already betrothed to him, she was unfaithful, and therefore, if it turns out that it is untrue, and that he's lying, then he has to pay 100 shekel, a double of the fine, and he also gets makot, and he can never divorce her. If, on the other hand, he's telling the truth, then it's possible that she would be killed, which is a component here. Now, how does this play out? Again, the same as the previous Mishnah. Now, this is now comparing Mishnah Hey with Mishnah Dalad. You see that speech can be worse than action. And because here the guy is Motzi Shem Ra, pays the double fine over one who actually did a terrible thing. And this is going to open us up into Agadah, which will take us to the end of the Perek, which is that you see that our ancestors had the decree sealed against them to stay in the desert and die in the desert because of Lashon Hara. God says they rebelled against me and tested me 10 different times, and they're going to die in the desert, etc. We'll see what those 10 times are. But you see that it's the Lashon Hara that was the, if you will, the straw that broke the camel's back. Now, Mimai, why is it that the fellow pays 100 proves that speech is worse? Maybe it's because there was a possibility that his claim would lead to her being killed. Maybe that's why the fine is bigger. Not because it was speech. Rava says, just like he did previously, the text tells us why you're paying 100. Because Hotzi Shemra Batulat Yisrael, he slandered a Jewish girl. Al Shemra Shotzi, he pays the 100 for the Shemra, not for the danger. Okay, again, how do we know that Bnei Yisrael had the Gzar Din happen to them because of the Lashon Hara? Maybe Bnei Yisrael had to wander in the desert because the Knanim hadn't yet sinned enough to be worthy of being sent out. And in the Sugya and Sota, the parallel Sugya Minha Uma, God doesn't punish somebody until he's filled up his quota. So the answer is, he says, it's because of your testing me these 10 times, not because of the Knanim, it's because of you. Okay, well, let's go on part two. Look how bad Lashon Hara is. The story of the Meraglim. Ma Motzi Shem Ra Litzim Vavanim Kach. If you're Motzi Shem Ra on dirt and rocks, Eretz Yisrael, and look at the punishment. Motzi Shem Ra Chaviro Achad Kam Chama. How much worse if you slander another person? Mimai, how do we know that their punishment was because of that? When the 10 spies came back and they gave the report, they said something very bad. We can't beat this nation because the nation is stronger mimenu. Now mimenu, the simple pshat is, al tikre chazaku mimenu, meaning they're stronger than we are, al mimenu, meaning they're stronger than he is, meaning God. Even God doesn't have power over them. So it could be that the meraglim weren't punished because of Lashon Hara, but because of blasphemy against God. The 10 men, remember, the 10 men were killed on the spot, and they were killed motzi'ei dibat ha'aretz ra'ah, because they had, the ones who had slandered the land, were killed. Al dibat ha'aretz shotziu, it's because of the slander, not because of blasphemy or anything else. Talmud Yehuda, esu nisyonon Yisrael v'tenu l'akodesh baruch hu, and this is what this will end. There were 10 times that Bnei Yisrael tested God in the desert. Shnayim b'yam, 2 of them at Yamsuf. Shnayim b'mayim, 2 of about water and thirst. Shnayim b'man, 2 about n'daman. Shnayim b'slav, 2 about the quail. Achat b'egav, achat b'midbar paran. That's the meraglim. Let's see them. Shnayim b'yam, achat b'yudav, achat b'aliyah. One happened before they went in the Yamsuf. One happened after they came out. B'yudah dichtiv. I'm leaving for Yom Mitzrayim. They said to Moshe, "What? There aren't graves in Egypt. You came to kill us out here." So that was one complaint. Ba'aliyah, on the way out, Yisrael on that generation were not big believers. We have this odd pasuk in the historiosophic chapter 106 of Tehillim, which recounts Yitziat Mitzrayim. It says they rebelled at the Yam Suf, and God saved them for His own name's sake. What does that mean? Yisrael were rebellious at that moment. We came out of Yam Suf on this side. Maybe the Mitzrayim came out on the other side, and they didn't get killed. God said to the minister of the sea, whatever that may be, spit them out onto the dry land. I want Bnei Yisrael to see them dead. Is there a master who gives his servant a gift and takes it back? You gave me these Egyptians. I don't want to lose them. I'm going to give you 1.5 times as many. There's 600 chariots here. I'm going to give you, in Nachal Kishon, 900 chariots of Sisera. But am I going to come and sue you? I can't come and sue you for 900 later based on the promise. Nachal Kishon, the Nachal Kishon, Wadi Ara, that is where the Sisera's chariots are going to go, will be my guarantor. So, Yad Paltan Liabashas, he spit them out. Meaning, Bnei Yisrael saw Egypt dead by the shore. So they were spit out. All right? That was their rebellion. Shnaim b'mayim, they twice rebelled about water. B'mara uver fidim, once before the monster, right after Yam Suf, when the water was stagnant, and once refidim, when they were thirsty, and Moshe hit the rock, and it came out from Har Sinai. They complained. Birfidim, that actually is taken from the second passage. They complained. Shnaim b'man, there are two at the man. Dichtiv al teitzu. He said, don't go out on Shabbat to collect, v'yatzu. And he said, al totiru, it's actually earlier, don't leave anything over for the next morning. On the weekdays, v'yatiru, and some people kept it over. So we see this is now numbers 5 and 6. Shnaim Baslav, Rishon Baslav Shini, there are two more about the Slav, once in the first incident of the Slav in the Man, and the second one is Malotcha. Slav Rishon, Meshiv Techem Asir Avasir Avasar, God says, you're sitting on the flesh pots of Egypt, that's what you want. And Baslav Shini, Vasav Sufa Shirbekibo, that the riffraff, had a great lust. Be'egel can eat it, Midbar Paran can eat it. And the Midbar Egel, of course, and Midbar Paran, the story of the Meraglim, is well known, and we don't need to document that. Okay, we'll pause at this point, and we have a relatively long podcast coming up, almost all Agadah, which we are going to go further into the issues of Lashon Hara and Koach HaDibur, but in the meantime, wish everybody a wonderful day.